The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
And I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Friday to you. Welcome to Security Service Field, where there's going to be some playoff baseball tonight. We were so very rudely interrupted yesterday when we were visiting with our next guest, so we said, let's have him on again. In fact, if he would allow us, we'd probably have him on 5 days of the week and maybe twice on one day of the week. Matt Wiley, fantasy football guru for the Gazette, joins us now. Matt, you have 30 seconds to gloat about Kareem Hunt. Go.
Okay, he's in my lineup. I had him. Remember I told you I was going to use him? Remember I told you I did my lineup a week in advance? I didn't change it. So 10 days before he played, I had him in the lineup. But before we got cut off yesterday, I was surely going to say Alex Smith would outperform Tom Brady. That was definitely going to not happen.
So no, don't put – no, push it, Matt.
There.
I was
no, kidding around there.
Yeah, but don't push it. I was giving you full credit for Kareem Hunt last night. Let's talk about last night in the fantasy impact moving forward. First of all, Alex Smith. We had – Tiki Barber on the show yesterday, and he said, you know, I don't love the idea of Alex Smith playing for his job because that kind of takes him out of his comfort zone and maybe makes him make some mistakes or take some chances. Do you think that potentially Alex Smith could be an option for somebody's fantasy team this year?
I do. I think it'll depend on matchups, but the telling stat for me last night, the hit against Alex Smith all along is he's too conservative and he doesn't take the shots downfield. He had two touchdown completions, 75 yards or more last night. He had two all of last season. So it's definitely in his head. They drafted the Mahomes, so he's definitely going to take the chances. And if he's going to still put up yardage, Alex Smith wasn't unstartable on bye weeks before, but now he might creep up into that, hey, you know, if it's Alex Smith or Eli Manning, you might just flip a coin or go with matchups. He's not out of the question to use. He's not a terrible fantasy play. But my big takeaway was Hill. Like, I had some doubts against the Patriots, like we even talked about yesterday. They try to take your best player away. And then, like, when they play the Broncos in the no-fly zone and things like that. But the way they were lining him up at the backfield and giving him carries there, like, he really reminds me of Percy Harvin a couple years ago when Percy Harvin was basically slump-proof because they get him the ball so many different ways. And that was my big takeaway there is I will play him even against the Broncos now. Like, that was just eye-opening and encouraging for owners of him.
How long – obviously, DFS, you have the ability to start Alex Smith whenever you want. I wouldn't imagine there are a lot of leagues where Alex Smith is owned. So at what point are you using a roster spot to pick him up? Do you still want to see how he does the next couple of weeks, or do you think that he'd be a wise waiver wire pickup this right away?
Well, I'm a big advocate of not carrying a backup quarterback, not carrying a big backup tight end, not carrying a backup kicker or defense. I just load up on the skill position. And so in some of the leagues I'm in, you know, 12-man, 10-man, no, not many people have three quarterbacks, so he's available, but I'm not going to drop my starter for him. Like, you know, the people who had Jameis Winston had to, quote-unquote, settle for Alex Smith this week, they're the big winners here, you know, because he was someone who was available, and they just used him. But I would not sacrifice my starter for Alex Smith at this point. I'm not going to go too crazy about it, and I don't want to waste the roster spot on a quarterback.
Mike Gillisley, did we learn anything about how maybe Bill Belichick might use him? Because there are I have heard from fantasy owners that for some reason had Mike Gillisley in their lineup, and they're just thrilled. Are you gaining any insight? Because I know yesterday you said it's just too unpredictable what Bill Belichick does with his running backs. Any clarity after one game?
I mean, if Gillisley's going to be the hammer like LeGarrette Blount was, he could get you touchdowns. But I don't expect the yardage. Like, Burkhead still started that game. Deion Lewis didn't get very many carries. I know some people who took away a flyer on him. It just was so unpredictable. I only start him in touchdown leagues. I can't risk it. But when we got cut off yesterday, I wanted to ask your guys' opinion on this. In drafts I did, the sleeper picks seemed like everyone was taking sleepers, and the steady guys who you know what they're going to produce weren't taken. Like, did you notice that too? Like, in a league that I'm in, Burkhead was taken, and guys like Kenny Britt and Sanu in Atlanta, and these guys were available, but everybody's trying to cash in that lottery ticket now, so the sleeper way to approach the draft might be getting the slow and steady guy. Did you guys notice that in your draft?
Yeah, I mean, I'm by myself, so I can't speak for what Chris seeing
about
in his, and I think he's purged all fantasy leagues. But in mine, I'll be honest, I have Burkhead on my team, but I took a flyer on him with my last pick, and I had felt pretty good about who I drafted before him. So I did take a little bit of a flyer. But Mohamed Sanu in my league went last. I mean, he was like Mr. Irrelevant. And so I get what you're saying. There are a lot of people who are trying to hit a fantasy home run. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just so popular, and everyone wants to brag about the sleeper and look smarter than they actually are. They outthink themselves and don't just take the steady guy. And I hate to say that, but I have Burkhead on the team. I have Smallwood on the team. I take risks, but I don't do it at the expense of Sanu, Britt, Lamar Miller, Ebron. There were just tons of guys who were in that third tier where you know they're going to get 800 yards and possibly six touchdowns, but everybody was just enamored with rookie running backs and new players on new teams, and it was just stunning to me.
Matt Wiley, fantasy football guru for the Gazette, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. If you have any lingering fantasy questions for the weekend, text them in, 286-0046. I will be sure to pass those along to Mr. Wiley. You mentioned rookie running backs. Your expectation level for Colorado's own Christian McCaffrey this year?
I think he's going to be phenomenal in a point-per-catch league. I think he'll be at a top, you know, like the way basically Charlie Garner, and that goes with stating myself, but way back with the Raiders, I mean, he will get the catches, he will gain the yards, he will get first down. If you're in a touchdown-centric league, I still think Cam Newton likes to run the ball in and dance, and I still think Jonathan Stewart's a hammer by the goal line. So my expectations are a little tempered on him, and I'm not just saying this secondhand, but my top rookie running back was Kareem Hunt, and the league I care about the most, my league of record, I have Hunt on my team, and I passed on McCaffrey to take him. So this isn't, saying it after the fact. I actually do have him, and I'm invested in him, but McCaffrey, I think, is going to be phenomenal in a point-per-catch league.
Any other rookies that catch your eye?
There were a couple, but I'm in defensive leagues, so the Jets safety and things like that. But on offense, I didn't want to draft Mixon. I just didn't. And I think Jeremy Hill was another veteran that I don't know where he went in your draft, but I think he was like the 38th running back taken in one of my leagues. And it was, the guy scored 10 touchdowns in multiple seasons. Those guys don't grow on trees, but it's just people devalue the veteran when a new shiny toy is in. I'm watching Jones in Green Bay. I don't know if Ty Montgomery can carry the load. Frankly, I had him last year, and he sat out a game with a mysterious illness, and he had injuries, and he's a former wide receiver. I just don't know if he can hold up. So the Green Bay rookie running back is one who's probably available on your waiver wire who you can go get right now, and if he doesn't work, just let him go. But beyond that, I wasn't enamored with rookies.
It's funny that you bring up Ty Montgomery, because we do have a text in an either or here. Ty Montgomery or Tevin Coleman?
I actually would go Montgomery. But as of right now, he's the go-to guy. He hasn't worn down. He hasn't anything. And I would go the running back over over a receiver. Or, yep. I would go with Montgomery for sure.
Okay. A couple other either-ors. Mohamed Sanu, Martavis Bryant.
Martavis Bryant.
Do you think that Martavis Bryant could be, from a value standpoint, a better value than perhaps taking Antonio Brown in that game?
No, well, it depends. In our league, the one in throwing the plug right here for it because I load up on stars. Like I have Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and AJ Green in my lineup. Like I start with the stars, and then. You know, the Kareem Hunts of the world are the difference between succeeding or failure. Like, I know you just talked to Lindsay, and she was a big Carson Wentz fan. I'm rolling with Carson Wentz this week. I want the stars, and I want Antonio Brown. I want Julio Jones, and I want A.J. Green. And I just think the Browns with Hayden left, and then he comes over to the Steelers. Right. I think they're going to want to show him up. I think they're going to light up their number one corner. I'd never bench Antonio Brown if I have the option to use him.
Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon?
Todd Gurley. The Colts defense is struggling. They're depending on a lot of rookies. It's a home game, and then I just don't want to go against the Broncos' run defense at this point. I don't know if I know Wolf is supposed to play, but I would go Gurley.
Derek Carr or Jameis? Oh, no, never mind. Why would we be asking that, Jameis? Let me ask you: would you play? Would you play Cutler or Winston this week, Matt? That was an old
Cutler.
One. We'll get.
Yeah, no, I like that. We'll
get rid of that one. Odell Beckham. Are you going to take a chance on him this week?
If it's a league that where the lineups are locked, I did not take the chance. Being that it's a Sunday night game, but there are two Monday games available, I would look at the wire and then maybe even make a move. But if I have Beckham, I'm going to wait till the very last minute. And then with them playing Sunday night, it's going to limit the amount of, you know, replacements that are going to be available. So maybe I pick up a Ted Ginn for the Saints or someone with the suspension to Snead. Ted Ginn might be my backup plan, and maybe I pick him up now, but I would wait till the very last minute if I could on Beckham. I would hate to have him on my bench if he played. But if it's a league where it locks him, I don't use him.
Okay. One other question that I wanted to ask you about last night's game. A lot of discussion today about Tom Brady in real football. Did you see anything last night that might tell you that perhaps fantasy owners that are banking on Tom Brady to bring them a championship might be a little bit worried today?
I was more worried about the receivers. He was putting it up there, and it was a few overthrows, and that, you know, people are saying it's the Madden curse or it's the 40 years or this, but, you know, when he used to throw deep all the time with Randy Moss would go make a play. When he used to throw it up for Gronk, Gronk would make a play, and it wasn't that Cooks wasn't open, but it seemed like he was always standing still or running back, but on the deep ones he couldn't connect, and eventually they'll connect. So I'm not worried. Tom Brady, if there's somebody in the league who wants to get rid of Tom Brady, that would be someone I would target to trade for. If somebody wants to give up on him now, I'll take that risk. I'm not going to give up on him just yet.
We have via Twitter a question from a Fam Sarnsworth. I don't know if you've ever met this gentleman.
Yes,
he wants to know, how about Jamaal Charles's fantasy value? Do you see a potential where he is the main playmaker out of the backfield for the Broncos?
I do, but I think they're going to give C.J. Anderson every opportunity to succeed. It's either 5-0 or 6-0, but the Broncos are unbeaten when C.J. Anderson rushes for 100 yards. So, I mean, I'm not a genius, but I'd get him 100 yards. You know, I still think it's C.J.'s job, but I think as Jamaal Charles gets more comfortable, he might seep into it. So, you know, week 5, I could see a switch or whenever that bye week is to Charles being the featured back, but I don't see it to start the season. They might
you can
him a
follow
touchdown. I didn't mean to interrupt. They might give him a touchdown early because he signed, and just because, you know, the feel-good story of, you know, hey, we've got a good player too. But I would expect C.J. Anderson to still be the workload back.
Who needs old Jamaal Charles when the Chiefs have new Jamaal Charles, right, Matt?
Yeah, new Priest Holmes, new Larry Johnson. He's number 27.
Right.
If I was a Chiefs fan, and I know you say you are, like, the way they've built this young roster, like, they've pretty much mimicked the Eagles. They have the fast, you know, DeSean Jackson type and Hill. They have the running back workhorse. They have the young quarterback now, but he's not starting. And if you just get that possession receiver, this offense, I would be ecstatic to be a young Chiefs fan. And I've been a fan of this young Chiefs team. But I'm not. So as a Bronco fan, I don't like it.
Well, and to be completely transparent, other than Kareem Hunt, I didn't. That was actually somebody I wanted the Broncos to draft, so I was high on him. But everybody else before that hated every single draft pick the Chiefs have made. So that tells you how good of a talent evaluator I am, at least when it comes to my own team. And I think that has something to do with it because they're the team that I root for. Matt, really appreciate you joining. Go ahead.
I had a dumb question about the Chiefs. Isn't it true that they haven't drafted a quarterback that's earned a win for them since, like, 1983. No quarterback they've drafted. They've all been transplants, right? Like, Brody Croyle never won a game. Some of these other guys, and it's always been Trent Green or Bono or anyone like that. It's never been someone they've
Gerbach.
Drafted. Finally, yeah, Gerbach. So I think it goes back to 83. It's one of the most amazing stats. But Mahomes is going to win a game. Like, this kid is great.
Yep, and I'm not going to completely change my tune because I was all in on Deshaun Watson. That's who I wanted the Chiefs to take. So I was more upset they didn't take Watson as opposed to the fact that they took Mahomes, but he just blew it. If Alex Smith wasn't on the roster, I feel like Patrick Mahomes might be Dak Prescott. You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah, he looks like the effortless way he throws the ball deep. It just reminds me of Michael Vick.
Yeah, I appreciate. You know what, Matt? Not a lot of people engage me in Chiefs-centered discussion, so I appreciate you very much doing that today, and I appreciate you joining me, giving your fantasy football insights. People can follow you on Twitter at MWCoyote. Make sure you read them in print and online at Gazette.com, and try to beat them on Drive Time Sports Fantasy. Somebody did because they had Amendola as well as Kareem Hunt, but I think we do owe Wiley some credit because he was the one that probably told that listener that's currently leading our league to take Kareem Hunt. Matt, thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
There's Matt Wiley, fantasy football guru for the Gazette, as we update our standings real quick in the Drive Time Sports Fantasy Football. A lot of you, including me, Wheels, Chris, a lot of people didn't have anybody last night. But taking names is at the top of the leaderboard after last night. Had Hunt and Amendola, and then right there in second place, you have Matt Wiley of the Gazette leading all of us so-called celebrities.
When they speak, people listen.
Great, enjoying the show.
Love the show.
I agree with you totally.
And for some inexplicable reason, they do it day after day after day.
Nobody can come talk to me about Tim Tebow time and how crappy Tim Tebow was at the beginning of the games ever again if you tell me you like Trevor Simeon.
It's Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden on Drive Time Sports.
Can we stop just putting the blame on the offensive line? Isn't there enough blame to go around to everyone?
Presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery on Extra Sports 1300.
Welcome in. Final half an hour here on a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. Why a half an hour, you ask? Oh, because we just have the first home playoff game in 20 years for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. It is just past 5 o'clock, which of course means we need to reset things, let you know what stories we've been chatting about today. We call it What's Driving the Show.
As you're driving home, here are the three stories that are driving Drive Time Sports.
What's driving the show brought to you by Bob Pincus, celebrating their 60th anniversary and home of where nobody buys just one. Story number one.
Co-RBI leader in the league. High drive, deep left field, way back and gone. How do you like that start? 3-0 Colorado. Oh, man, you got to love it.
I do love it, Drew Goodman, Rockies TV on the call. Nolan Arenado's three-run shot in the first inning started the beginning of the end for Clayton Kershaw, as he doesn't even last four full innings, 3 2/3 to be exact. He gets walloped. The Rockies win going away. 9-1 is the final. And we just yesterday were talking about, is this team going to be able to even win a couple of games in this eight-game road trip where they go to L.A. and Arizona? And here they are. First night, Cy Young winner, boom, 9-1 is the final score. And look, that game last night had everything to do about the mess the Dodgers are right now than the Rockies, okay? It is a little flukish that the Rockies have beaten Clayton Kershaw twice, and Clayton Kershaw has only lost three games this season. But here's what you can get behind if you're the Rockies. Just use it for confidence. You're not going to go up against a pitcher the rest of the way that is better than that guy you beat last night. So why not puff out your chest a little bit? Why not own it and say, who cares if that team's a mess? Other people, when we've been have come in and beaten us, and we're the ones that get trashed on and not the other team. So why not, for once, let's take a win. Let's not try to demean it by saying that the Dodgers are a mess, even though they are. The Rockies should just take this and use it as confidence. And here's also something you could take. Last time I checked, the Dodgers lineup is pretty good. And last night, John Gray was simply outstanding. Four hits, one run, two walks, and he gets the victory. Now, the pitch count thing is an issue for this guy. He continually runs up his pitch counts, and it makes it very difficult for him to last past this six-inning threshold. But you look at some of his early, three starts before he gets hurt. He goes 4 innings, 5 1/3, and 3. And then he comes back, and he has a smattering. He has a 2-inning outing and a 5-inning outing. And now look, over the last four of his last five starts, he has lasted at least six innings, and that is something extremely positive for John Gray, and he was great. I loved the part last night where he throws the pitch, and Bud Black is screaming at Jonathan Lucroy trying to figure out what pitch it was. It was a great win for the Rockies. We've had so many sucky losses. Let's take the win, and I hope the Rockies take the win as well and bring it into tonight, because they have a favorable matchup with Germán Márquez going up against Yu Darvish, speaking of guys that can't last out of the fifth inning. So use it, Rockies. Use it for confidence. And, yes, for those of you who listen to the show quite a bit, I have noticed that Carlos Gonzalez has been hitting 367 over his past 17 games. And I did see that he hit a home run last night. So, hey, like I said in the promo that ran for extremely way too long on this station, I hope that I am wrong, and I hope that this shows Cargo stepping out a little bit, because Bud Black seems to be unwilling to split up Blackman, LeMahieu, and Arenado. So somebody in the bottom half of the lineup needs to start hitting, and it's been Cargo over the last few games, which is certainly nice to see. I don't root against the guy. I just, my better judgment says that he's somebody that's on the outs with the Rockies, and he wasn't hitting too well, but hit well last night. Story number two.
Hill in motion from the 22, gets the snap, drops back, good time, looks left, looks right, winds up, long pass down the middle, it's an over-the-shoulder catch by the running back, out at the 40, down the middle of the 30, chase to the 20, breaks a tackle, 10, 5, touchdown! 78 yards!
Kevin Harlan, Westwood One on the call. You heard the game last night over on our sister station, 740 KVOR. That running back that Kevin Harlan was referring to on that clip is Kareem Hunt. who is now the biggest star of the NFL. The day after the season opener, he had a huge night, as not totally predicted by Matt Wiley of the Gazette, but he did say that if he took anyone in last night's game from a fantasy perspective, it would have been Kareem Hunt. And Larry Johnson today, former Chief, pretty good running back in his own right when he was healthy, said that Kareem Hunt has the potential to be the best running back in Chiefs history. And that's where the discussion needs to be. With the Rockies and Dodgers, everything to do with the Dodgers, very little to do with the Rockies. Last night's game has everything to do with how formidable the Chiefs can be and nothing to do with any weakness or age that the Patriots are at. Tom Brady will be Tom Brady for the rest of the year. Bill Belichick will be Bill Belichick. They will win 12, 13, 14 games maybe. They are the team to beat in the NFL still. But it was a great win from the Chiefs. And when you look at the AFC West, you have a potential going into the weekend. You thought, okay, so Patriots would beat the Chiefs. Probably the Titans would beat the Raiders on their home field. And now you have the Chiefs who are 1-0. The Raiders very well could be 1-0 after Sunday. And now the Broncos behind the eight ball as they open up their season on Monday night. So, look, good luck figuring out a way to stop Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt. And, oh, by the way, Alex Smith looked like he responded well to all the Patrick Mahomes talk over the offseason. But if you're a Patriots fan, first of all, why? Second of all, you don't have to step away from that ledge. The Patriots will be fine. And story number three today also has an impact on the Broncos, albeit indirectly. A judge in Texas has granted Ezekiel Elliott's temporary restraining order against the NFL, which means he will not be suspended once week two rolls around or after the Giants game. He will play for an indeterminate amount of time. It's wide open now, as many outlets are reporting that the temporary restraining order has been granted. The judge in his findings said that Elliott was denied a fundamentally fair hearing by arbitrator Harold Henderson. So now the impact is a few fold here. First of all, Amy Dash of CBS Sports, their top legal analyst, says that the case of Ezekiel Elliott will stay in Texas, which in a perfect world you would say, what does it matter? Isn't the law the law the law? But let's be honest, Ezekiel Elliott has better odds of beating the NFL if the injunctions and all the arguing is going on in the state that he plays football in. That's just fact of the matter here. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think the Cowboys, if they have Ezekiel Elliott, obviously, even though he was going to play the second half of the season, have a much better chance of making it to the Super Bowl this year, because now they don't lose Zeke and lose games that they normally would win, which keeps them from hosting multiple games at Jerry's World. So I think the impact is there for the Cowboys. And then let's take it from a local perspective. I thought the fate of the Broncos in week two depended on whether Ezekiel Elliott would play. I understand the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys is good, and I know almost anybody can run against it. But don't tell me that Ezekiel Elliott is a complete fabrication and a creation of that offensive line. That dude is really good, and the fact that now it looks like he will be coming to Denver in about 10 days, that is not good news for the Denver Broncos. And now you could potentially be looking at 0-2 if they don't find a way to beat Phillip Rivers and the Chargers on Monday night. Great show. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. Up next, Sky Sox playoff baseball on Extra Sports 1300.